Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery. Always excited to be here with you for another mind-shifting conversation. It's already Monday, my favorite day of the week. For those of you that are tuning into the live show, thank you. Welcome to Mind Shift. If you're new to the show is just for you, for regular people just like you and I that are looking to grow in every area of our lives. So whether you're looking to grow personally, professionally, physically, financially, spiritually, whatever it may be, any area of your life that you can think of in which you would need to have a paradigm shift, an area in which you would need to change your level of thinking, then this is the show for you. So kudos to you for tuning in, and thank you to all of you that are listening to this replay, as well as those of you that are sharing the replay with your friends and family. We like to have an interactive show. Feel free to join in on the conversation. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, if you are not our friend yet, we encourage you to become our friend on Facebook. You can reach us at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. But thank you to all of you that are tuning in. We have another phenomenal mind-shifting show for you guys tonight with a twist. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we talk about tonight's topic and introduce you to tonight's guest, I do want to introduce you to my awesome and phenomenal and lovely and amazing co-host. I'm really laying it on really thick right now so she can be nice to me tonight. But she is my sister in success as well as my sister in crime. Juanita, Sister Big Bones Warren. Hey, Sister Big Bones. And Sister Big Bones just had some issues. I saw her there and she's gone, so I'm sure she'll be calling us soon. But it's okay. So before we get started with this week's conversation and before Sister Big Bones joins us, I do like to go ahead and just do a recap of previous shows. Now, for those of you that may have missed the last show, it was really a heart-to-heart conversation. It was really just a girl talk with Juanita and I, and we were just having some conversations around, it was Women's History Month, and we were just talking about some experiences we've had and kind of just giving advice to the younger version of ourselves. So we kind of put ourselves in a perspective and in a place of mind in terms of, in the frame of mind, if I was talking to someone or talking to myself 15, 20 years ago, what would I say to myself? And so it was interesting just to reflect and share some of our own experiences and the lessons that we've learned along the way. And we've got tons of great feedback. I see the downloads are still going up. The numbers are still increasing for that show. So I guess you guys liked some of what we had to say as we shared all our dirty laundry. And prior to that week, we had business coach Mernice Oliver here with us, and the title of that show was Girls, Get Yourself Together. And despite the title, it was a show for men and women because there was so much pertinent information that was shared in terms of how to change your mindset, how to set your goals, how to be proactive, and how to create a game plan in order to attack your goals. So that was a great show. So I encourage you guys, that's just, two shows of many amazing shows that are available for you guys to go back and check out the replay. You can go online to mindshifttalkradio.com. That's our website. You can learn more about us. You can learn more about the guests we've had on the show. And you also want to make sure that you're checking out the website to find out about upcoming shows and stay in contact with us. There's a contact us link there. You can drop us a line, send us an email. Let us know what your thoughts are about the show. Share your thoughts and let us know if there's any particular topics or discussions that you would like us to have on the show. We're always open. And we also encourage you, if you're listening via your web browser, via Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and hit the follow link. Some of you guys are following the show, and sometimes you miss one show from one week to another. But if you're part of our distribution list and you're connected to us via Blog Talk Radio, you'll still get the emails. so you can find out about some upcoming shows that you may not want to miss and you want to put on your calendar. I tell you, we already have some really hot shows planned for the next. I just worked on the calendar today, you know, kind of finalized some stuff through the next 8 weeks. And we have some dynamic speakers and guests that are going to be joining us week after week. So the next few months on Mindshift are definitely going to be amazing. So you want to make sure that you're connected and you're here. Now, as far as my partner in success, I don't know what's going on right now. Hopefully she'll join us before the end of the hour. But without any further ado, I want to go into this week's conversation because we have the fellas joining us, and Juanita is just going to miss this because I have the guys here, and we want to talk about a male perspective on various topics. So the title of tonight's show is This is a Man's World. Now, ladies, we know better, but But to make our guests feel welcome, we decided to go ahead and give the title to them. So this is A Man's World. And tonight we're going to discuss everything across the board from dating and relationships to finances and fashion. We want to hear what men think and what men have to say about various topics, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and bring my friends out and my special guests out for this roundtable discussion. Now, I asked you guys before the show, I know one of you, I'll say caller number one, says he's okay, you know, with making himself known. He doesn't have to be anonymous. But what about you, caller number two? Are you on the fence? What do you want me to do?
I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay. So I'm just going to say we just, okay. So we've got two awesome guys here, and I can say they're awesome because I do know these gentlemen personally, and I handpicked them to be on the show because they are not strangers to Mindshift Talk Radio, for one. Also, I have had some one-on-one conversations with them around many of the topics we'll be discussing tonight. So I know that these guys are not pulling any punches, and they're going to be totally honest and transparent, and they're hilarious to say the least. So they're intellectual and funny at the same time. You just can't beat it. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to two guests that are joining us tonight, Mr. Princeton out of Atlanta, as well as Carlton here in Atlanta as well. So welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio, guys.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. I'm excited to have you guys here.
I got a platform and a soapbox. I'm ready to go.
Right. I
really?
Know, right. I'm can't wait to spill the beans.
Now, and see, you, like I said, you guys are not strangers to Mindshift. And I know when both of you guys were here, you guys had so much to say about the topics that we had back then. And Princeton was the most recent that was on. And I have to say, Princeton, you held it down with the ladies when we had that round table. We had the, you were probably, it was what, two guys and two or three women, and you held it down. And you had some fans, I think, after that show. So,
oh, is that right?
That was
good. I should have sent out my Twitter name after that, but I don't know what it is. Follow me.
Follow you on Twitter. Okay.
Put in your brand.
That's all right. You can do that. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Now, like I said, we talked about some of the stuff. You know, I know Juanita had a lot of questions. And so we were writing this stuff down, and we were just like, okay, we can't ask everything within an hour, obviously. So we just wrote down some of the more pressing concerns, I would say, that we have. Now, of course, we know it's always fun to start with dating. And I'm going to go ahead and get started with the dating questions that we had. So question number one, and you guys can jump in whenever you want. And, again, for you listeners, if you have any questions that you want to ask the guys, feel free to call in. Area code 347-989-0206. All right, guys. So when we're talking about dating, now let me, before I even get into this question, I want to say both of you guys, if I'm not mistaken, are going at this whole dating experience and marriage a second time around, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, yes.
Me too.
Yes.
Okay. So, Princeton dating and Carlton remarried.
Remarried. Yes. Yes. The first time.
All right.
Just didn't work out right. Yes.
Well, obviously, the first time didn't work out for either one of you guys.
Right. This is true.
Okay.
There was a right. song in the early 80s called Second Time Around. I don't know if a lot of y'all remember that. I'm showing my age a little bit. But it didn't work out, but that's not always a bad thing. You know, a lot of times mm-hmm. you have to have the opportunity to kind of step into your increase and doing it again, or you try to make sure that you don't make the same mistakes. And you kind of really know what to look for. And what, you know,
second
what
second time around.
Remember.
Hey, sis.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Wow. We were hoping you would make it here.
Oh, I hate modern technology.
Oh, yeah. I understand that completely.
All right. So, dating question. First thing women want to know, guys. How long should you wait before you're intimate? Now, we remember Michelle Girlfriends, and Joan would say there was a 3-date rule, and you guys have seen, you know, Think Like a Man and so forth. So what do you guys think about women having that whole 3-date rule?
Rules, schmooze. Personal opinion. I'm going to tell you for real, this is honest. You really can't. If you put rules on everything that you do in life, seriously, you're going to miss out on a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, great experiences. Spontaneity is, you know, it's the thrill in it. You know, you got to live life to the fullest. And if I'm feeling somebody to the point where, though, you know, we want to take it there, and then you want to hold back just because you have this rule that maybe we should meet a couple of days later, what happens if date number 3 doesn't go as well as dating them. I might not feel you that well. You know what I'm saying? There are open opportunities. And sometimes you just got to go, if the door opens, go through it. See what's on the other side. You know what I'm saying? You could really, really enjoy, you know, that experience. Because, you know what I'm saying, if you feel each other to the point where, though, you just have to go there, why say, oh, okay, well, nah, we just can't do it right now. I just want to wait. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I just don't feel right doing this. But how do you know when is right? What is the right time to do anything?
Well, I don't know. So I kind of look at it like this, right? At the end of the day, it's to thine own self be true, right? And so my thing is, you have to, you know, the woman will have to be able to ask herself, what is it about this 3-day rule that's going to either make or break me? Because at the end of the day, we already have our own ideas about who you are and who you will be for us at whatever given time we are in that particular relationship. So it really doesn't, you know, from our perspective at least, you know, it really doesn't matter. Now, dating is a tricky situation because people date for a totally different reasons. You know, somebody once told me that all dating is really trying people on to see if they fit, right? And if you want to be with somebody that's going to be there for a long time, you got to be able to have a garment that you'll be able to grow into. Or if you lose a little weight, you'll still be able to fit it. Something that's going to be comfortable and something that's going to be able to last you a long time. So some people will look at dating as that, whereas other people look at dating as, oh, I'm just playing. You know, the thing is, you never really know which side you're playing on that. But at the end of the day, the one thing that you can never hide is character. And so you have to decide on whether or not you can find or learn someone's character after only being at one date, or whether or not it'll take a second date and a third date to really figure out who this person is and whether or not the reasons that we're dating are aligned. Does that make sense? Stacey, what do you think, Stacey?
It sounds good.
Okay.
I think, honestly, now I get what you're saying as far as setting a specific time frame, especially when men and women now know that's pretty much game for a lot of people and say, okay, I'm going to wait 3 dates. I mean, that doesn't really mean anything to say 3 dates or 5 dates, but I do think that men look at women differently or don't have a certain level of respect for women that just kind of throw it out there on the first date. Now, I have met couples that said, you know, the first date, they got wild, and, you know, they ended up becoming their wife or husband. you know.
Right.
But it's,
sorry.
Yeah, so I've heard that, but it's rare that you hear that. I mean, honestly, how much respect do you have for a woman you meet in a club that just throws it at you the first night?
I respect my wife to the fullest.
Oh,
which is
okay.
Why she's my wife. You know
so
saying?
It was that first night situation
first,
with your wife?
The first date, our first date. Yes, our first
date. Well, no, Carlton, it's a little different for you because you guys knew each other long before your first date.
Dating? Okay, so are we talking about the length of time that you know a person? Because now you're creating a completely different scenario. We're talking
Because I'm talking about you meeting someone in a club on Friday night and you already going there with her Friday night. Are you going to look at her the same way? Is that going to look like wifey material to you?
No, that's not a date. That's not a date. I went to the club, you know what I'm saying, and I met a female. And that's a different scenario. That's a one-night situation. We just met. If I'm going on a date with somebody, I actually have to have already talked to you for a little bit, have some sort of sense of who you are, establish some a little foundation of, you know, what we're going. We're not talking blind date scenario. If I met a person, we have a conversation. Look, I want to take you out. Let's go out and do this. But whatever that event be, if it leads to a point where so y'all having such great chemistry, why stop when you already feeling each other? You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about one night stand. That's a different
thing.
Right, but of course, the respect level does to affect in that situation. But I'm talking about a person who I want to go on a date. If we've been friends for the longest time, but our first date, we could have been friends for 5 years, but this is our first time going on a date together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does your one then still apply then? Because maybe we're talking about two different topics, but if we're just talking about a dating scenario, having a rule on when you're going to take it to the intimacy level based off of how many dates you're going to have before you get to that point, you can't, I mean, why have a line in the sand, you know what I'm saying, that you have to draw? Because
I think Stacey, and I think she was really coming from a sterile environment where it's the first, quote-unquote, really getting to know each other day, not that they had anything to buy. And even if that is the case, right, even if that is the case, you have to realize that tenure is not always on the same linear path as respect in regards to how we view or not view women. You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to that because my thing, yeah, you may have only gone on one date, but I may have been having conversations with you for the past month. We may have been talking and texting and really getting to know each other, and it just so happens that this is our first date that we're going out on, and it winds up happening. But who knows? But, you know, life is short. I do believe that there are certain decisions that we have to make and decide for ourselves, you know, which direction we want this particular date or what we want to get out of this day, and then we need to act appropriately, whether or not that is to get hooked up, you know, that same night or 5 or 6 months later. It doesn't have any indication on whether or not the woman really likes you or not, because we know that women traditionally and not traditionally out just for sex. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with you trying to get to know another woman or person, if that's what both of you guys want, and being able to build something off of that. But sex has nothing to do with it, especially at our age.
Mm-hmm.
The age is the key, because at a certain age, quote unquote, I feel that the object of sex loses its value. As you get older, the responsibility and the things and the pressure and the dedication that people put on sex, it diminishes as you get older, because you start to realize that sex ain't that important. Because guess what? You can't live in the bed. You know, you can have there's no way you could expect to have a great life, you know, with a woman and y'all having sex every single day. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Somebody got to pay these bills.
That's
work from home.
Work from home. Touche.
Let me hear what Sister Big Bones has to say about this. What are your thoughts?
Interesting. Like, that's about the extent of it. that whole analogy of trying folks on to see if they fit, for me, I'm not trying to buy no shoe after somebody's fat foot done stretched it out. Like, I'm not. nor am I trying to buy the outfit that got deodorant stains from somebody else's underarm. That's, hey, I'm just not trying to do that.
So you're looking for a person that's never experienced anything at all? Because if you don't want anybody to try on any shoes that you're trying to purchase, I don't know how that's going to work out for you. I mean, in the day and age that we live in right now, experience.
So you mean to tell me if a female posts your boot up days, prior to your boot up days, a female kind of was a little easy on giving it up, a little quick to give it up, you wouldn't like if she gave it up to me that quickly, how many other dudes she done gave it up that quickly to?
I'm going to tell you, that's based on security, a person's security level. Like, if you're insecure, you know what I'm saying, within yourself, then, of course, you can create a whole bunch of different scenarios on what could possibly be going on when you're not around. I don't live in that world. I'm just being honest. I can't live in that world because, for me, that hinders my, that hinders the freedom of my thought process. Like, seriously, I got enough things to think about in life to worry about what it is you've done in the past. You know what I'm saying? Because my past is, I got so many skeletons in my closet. I don't even want to. I can't live in that world. I don't judge.
Okay.
I'm gonna
jump in for a second so we can switch, because we're already like going into this for a long time and we have like a whole laundry list of things. So while we're talking about the skeletons in the closet and the security, before I go to the next question, for those of you that are just tuning in right now, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren, and it's a man's world on Mind Shift Talk Radio tonight. So we're hearing from the fellas, and we're just hearing a male perspective on various topics from dating and intimacy to finances and fashion. And that's going to be one we're going to discuss tonight. So in terms of the dating piece, talking, we're talking about security and so forth. I want to hear from a male perspective, how is it dealing with infidelity? Do you guys feel that men deal with infidelity in relationships differently than women do? Meaning, do you guys handle it differently? And do you get over it differently than women do in relationships? What do you guys think about that? What are your thoughts? I'll start with you, Princess.
I don't think the way socially, like the way we are raised, I don't think it, in the experiences that we go through early on in life, I don't think it lends us to truly be able to deal with that. Because that's just something that, we're not grown accustomed to. You know, there's a reason why women as young girls are, lend themselves to chastity, and guys want to be, dogs and players and all this other silly stuff that we see and are nurtured from in regards to media or just our friends and the things that we're into. But I think that, I don't think that men handle it as well, because we don't, when it happens to us, because number one, truth be told, women are a lot more careful when it comes to covering their tracks. But in the event that it does happen and it does come out, because what you do in the dark will come to light, I just don't think that men are prepared to be able to handle that. I don't think that because men are visual people, and once we get that image of a woman or our woman in a state of undress, so to speak, with another man, I don't think you can get that image out of your head. And if you can't get that image out of your head, then that's something that you traditionally, can't deal with. So very seldom will you see that happen, that a man will stay with his wife after some infidelity. But women do it all the time. Yeah. They do it all the time. And they do it not necessarily because they want to do it, but that is from a social standpoint how they, they were raised to be able to deal with those things and give excuses like, oh, well, he's just a man. He's going to do what he's supposed to do. Or maybe I didn't do something right. All that silly stuff that you, how people raise people. They raise men differently than they raise women, or boys versus girls.
right. What do you think, Carlton?
Okay.
Really?
So,
really?
All right. Seriously. This is, I have thought long and hard about this topic for, you know, many, many years. I'm going to tell you, I was jaded as a very, very young person, you know, when it came down to a situation like this. This is a true, true hard thing for me to discuss. Yeah, I did not deal with, I don't deal with that very well at all. Like, it don't sit well with me. You know, I can't explain, you know, to you just how deeply that scarred me when I was very young. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't take that well at all. I was, like, you might have thought that somebody, like, shot my dog or something. It was tragic. It was tragic. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that can shatter an ego. Like, really, that's some real, real shit. And it's bad that you see women, you know what I'm saying, go through this. Because in my thought process, I'd be thinking, man, if I felt like that, they must feel horrible. But I always tell a person this, and this is the truth. I tell a female this. If you cheat on a man and he find out and he stay with you, he is going to either one or two things. He's either cheating on you already or he's going to after the fact. Because there's no way in this world he can mentally get over what took place. Because he can, like Princeton said, we are visual. All we can see is that image over and over and over and over and over again. Can't get it out of there. It's terrible. It's terrible. The best thing for you to do, get out. Like, get out. If you be like, oh, it's okay, we can work past this, man, you're in for a long, long struggle. It's going to be terrible. Like, I'm telling you, I could have been probably the worst man on the planet for probably the next 7 years.
No, but my thing is this. And nobody's going to say this, but I'm going to say it. Niggas going to be like, excuse my expression, but what if he was better? Like, for real talk, what if he was better? So my thing is, you're not going to tell me that he was better, especially if we try to be together, you know what I'm saying? But what if I'm thinking I'm having sex with you, and you thinking about, man, I could have had a V8.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Any sense. That would always be in the back. You know what I'm saying? That, was I bigger? Was I better? Does he think of him? All that old stuff. You know what I'm saying?
You are crazy.
We see it live. Like, I'm as vivid as they come with imagination. It's crazy. Yeah, I can't handle it. I can't.
I think you're right, though, because you guys are more visual and women are more emotional. I think it hurts us more to know that you actually cared about the female that you cheated with versus a one-night stand, like you said, at the club.
All right.
You know,
you don't even have to sleep with her. Just kiss her or something. Give her some money.
Yeah.
Buy her a meal.
And if you say you actually like her or you care about her or you love her, oh, my gosh, that's what breaks a woman down right there. That's when I think the whole insecurity comes in, like, okay, well, what's wrong and why or what did I do or what didn't I do and all this, and we start to ask all these questions. And unfortunately, like you said, for you guys, you can try to get over it, which is hard, obviously, because like you said, Carlton, at some point you're either going to cheat or you've already cheated. And I think for women are going to stay on edge, always waiting for him to slip again. Like, we're always waiting for you to backslide again. So it's really hard, I think, for both. It's just, like you guys said, like, for you it's more visual. You're always seeing it. And for a woman, she's always thinking, okay, what can I do differently to make him love me so that there's no gap for him to fall for someone else, you know? But speaking of that, now there's one question that you always have to ask men. Every woman always wants to know from men, how do you know she's the one? How do you know who's the one? And both of you guys have been married, so how did you know your wives have been the one?
Is that going to count? Because they was wrong.
The first time I really was right, I was right. I'm telling you, this is the truth. I'm an open person. The first time was right, I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I damaged my first marriage. You know what I'm saying? Because the things, again, this goes back to my jadedness in the past turned me into a very, very, you know, corrupt. I was corrupt. I was not the best of men at all. I was really, really a tyrant, disrespectful, very infidel. It didn't, like, I had no conscience when it came to certain things. But I knew that when I met her, I told her, this is God, I told her she was going to be the mother of my children. Like, I knew that. She's a great mother. She's a great mother to me. And it was a great wife. She just couldn't get over all of the trash that I did in the past.
So how did you know she was the one? Before you popped the question, how did you know that?
You have a connection. You know what I'm saying? It's that. And I'm going to tell you, and it was funny, I was talking with my wife about, current wife about this right now. She was talking about a guy who was with his wife for like, with his girl for 40 years and they never got married. They didn't get married. And then he leaves her and then finds a chick and get married in 2 years. And I told her, I was like, look, a guy knows. He can feel it. He's going to know. I knew I was 19. I was 18 when I met my first wife. I knew then that I was getting married. And I got married when I was 21. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was very young. Very young.
So, Princeton, how did you know that your wife was the one?
Well, apparently she's not. In retrospect, because I'm divorced. So, and I had to say this, right? So maybe there's no such thing as the one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, I think we put too much, like I said, the media has a way of romanticizing what it is, a marriage is, and what it takes in order to be successful. So those are another things that you learn from your surroundings, unless you're blessed enough to have a two-parent household, which is not the case in most situations. So you kind of have to learn those things on the fly. So instead of trying to find the quote-unquote one, you have to kind of get to the point where you ask yourself, you know, can I deal with this person for the rest of my life? Like, there's shortcomings that they have that still get on my nerves, like, does the good so far outweigh, you know, these one or two things that I want to be with this person for the rest of my life. So it's not necessarily the one, because, I thought my ex-wife was the one. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm dating a new young lady. You know what? It feels like she was the one. So you really never know until you kind of have retrospect. You know, you never know why that person was supposed to be in your life, whether or not it was supposed to be for that reason or for that season or for that lifetime. You never really get to figure that out until the relationship is dissolved or you're so far in it that you can really take a step back arbitrarily and look at the tenure of that relationship and what has happened. Okay. Okay, first of all, every time I stop talking, nobody says anything. What is going on the other side? That's what I want to know. Everybody just get quiet. You can't be quiet in radio. I know that. I'm not a radio personality, but I know you can't have dead air.
He said, it's always a hmm.
You give us so much to think about, Preston. It's like, chew on that for a minute. Like, you know, Billy Miller used to be on the show, and he would always say something profound, and he'll be like, chew on that. So we're just chewing on that for a minute. That's all. It's not a bad thing.
Wow.
So I used to have this conversation. Say, I told you this before. Okay, there's no such thing as the perfect person. You know what I'm saying? That person doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer in that. There's no such thing as there is the perfect person. You're looking around for a person that you're going to think you're going to find 100% the person that you get a laundry list, you go, hell, this is going to be my person. You are never in life going to find that person. They don't exist. 90%. If you're lucky.
Oh, is this the 90-10 rule?
90% if you're lucky. I'm telling you, if you find 90% of what you want, if that 10% is not enough to want you to make you kill that person, you are in the perfect scenario for you. That's true story. That's as close as you're going to get. That's because the person is going to have something that's going to bother you. It's natural. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. My wife nags me all the time. It's annoying. It's annoying.
Is it nagging you or reminding you?
No.
Yeah, there's a difference.
No, it's nagging. It's nagging.
I think she's reminding you, Carlson.
You know I
is
heard
it
you
using
first...
words to motivate you?
No. I don't even know. If I heard you the first time and I responded, you having to say it to me again, obviously it wasn't the right time for me to do it.
So wow.
Keep saying it until it happens, it's going to happen. Patience is a virtue, but that's me. That's my thing. You know what I'm saying?
So is persistence.
That's my persistence can be a no. I'm just saying. That's just me. But I'm saying that's my 90-10. That everything else, that's perfect harmony. I've known my wife since I was 7. You know what I'm saying?
So she should know by now you just move slow. I got it.
I'm on a different playing field. You know what I'm saying? A different plan, but that's my thing. Is it, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be temper there for her. Yeah, I'm a little bit nonchalant that she can't stand it, right? I'm nonchalant about a lot of views. Yeah, for me, I'm like, it'll work itself out. I'm one of those half full kind of people, glass half full. It's going to work out, you know what I'm saying? Blessings. It's going to work out in our favor. It's good, but for her, it bothers her that I don't, you know, worry about things. More.
Now, Carlson, you're talking about the 90-10 rule, and we've heard about the 80-20 from the movies and so forth like that. And I think, you know, acceptance of the rule pretty much comes with a level of maturity. But then there's also a fine line when you talk to some people about it that'll say, okay, it's one thing to say, well, there's a 90-10 or 80-20, and I'm not going to get 100% of everything I want. But at what point is it just settling? You know, because there's a fine line between just settling for what looks good and going for most of what is good. You know what I mean? Like, how do you determine this is it, this is all I need? How do you make that determination?
How do I make it? I told you, if the 10% does not make me want to kill you,
so this is funny, right, because I think a lot of it has to do with temperament. And I think a lot of it has to do with temperament because you got to think, and this is going to be really funny when I say it. In a relationship, In a relationship, there's always a reacher and there's always a settler. In
a
relationship,
a
reacher and a settler.
Okay.
There's someone in the relationship who is settling. Always. And there's always someone in that relationship that's reaching. Like maybe someone's dating. As in somebody's dating up or somebody's dating down.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all balancing
out.
Really?
So I think it depends on the temperament. It depends on whether both of them are and, you know, what they're looking at. But
Which one are you?
At some point, as I said a little bit earlier, is you just have to figure out what it is I can live and what I can't live with. And then you have to decide whether or not this person is going to be a person I'm going to be able to grow with, and that those little nuances that they may or may not have, you know, that's something that as time grows, you know, if you really, really, if this is the one and this is the person that you're supposed to be with, as time grows, those nuances that you kind of got under your nerves will be those same things that you love and adore about that person. So, you know. You know, but then again, you know, I'm a romantic type of guy, so that's probably why I have my opinion that way. But that's just how I feel about it.
How do you define dating up and dating down?
There y'all go again with that being quiet.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Kristen, you don't hear us?
I hear you. I'm sorry. I had some technical difficulties. Go ahead.
See, I was going to say, there was no silence there. She went at you immediately. There was no silence there.
Okay, I'm glad I missed it.
Wow. How do you determine dating up and dating down and which one you say you are?
Well, the thing is, the crazy part about it is normally if you're thinking about it, you're probably, you know, everyone thinks that they're a settler. You know what I'm saying? Because no one wants to be like, you know what, I really got lucky with this one because she's way outside my league. or he's way outside my league. Nobody's going to say that who has any type of self-efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's some people that'll say that if they're real honest with themselves.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're 60 and you done pulled a 23-year-old dime piece. You might want to think that, yeah.
Yeah, but but at the same time, we don't see ourselves as others see us. So
right.
The reality is be totally different than what we see in the mirror.
Right. So on that same topic right there, when you're talking about dating up and dating down, that goes to the next one we had under dating in terms of one thing that totally irritates me. Now, I'll say this from a female perspective. One question that totally gets on my nerves, it's irritating me right now, is when you meet a man and a man will say, why are you still single? Why aren't you married? Why aren't you with someone? Like, really, what answer are you guys looking for?
Why don't you have children?
I don't know about that one. But, and then I was listening to some guys speaking the other day in the office, and they were talking about, I had the same question. Stacey, why are you still single? I just am. Okay? And then the guy says, well, what I think it is? I think you intimidate men. What does that mean? I want to know. What does that mean?
That he thinks you're in.
Okay. I got. Can I please answer this?
Go ahead, Princess.
Please let me answer this. Wow. So, first of all, the truth of the matter is this. That's just the best lead-off question to any date. That's the question. Because you got to think, first of all, the average guy don't know what he's going to talk about when he take you to this day in first real talk. Okay. Since we being real, we don't know what we about to talk to y'all about. So what happens is the best thing to say is, why are you single? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. First, you're going to go into this long what to do or why I'm single, what I like, what I don't like. And then once you get that information, now I know how to cater to date.
Exactly.
Things that you like. I know the things
we
that
done
don't
fail
like.
For the okie
doke. And I'm good. This date is going to be great. This date is going to be great because everything that you don't like, oh, man. True.
You ain't going to see it.
That's not happening.
You just getting in trouble for telling that. You should have never gave out that information right there, bro. Take that to the grave.
I have an alias. Princeton is not my real name. Not my real name, people.
You just gave away a diamond right there. You can't give away a 10-carat diamond on your phone.
So that's what it's about tonight. That's what the show is about.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Learning.
Okay. All right. Since it's out there, that's the truest thing ever because we ask her. It's like the perfect open. We live in a sales world. That's the perfect open-ended question. It's the perfect one because based off of all of the information you provide, man, my sales pitch is about to be the business. I'm telling you, I'm going to deliver the goods. I'm going to be a superstar for the next 6 months just because of all of the stuff you told me. I'm telling you right now, it works.
Wow.
It never fails because you always want to tell us what everybody did wrong. You can't wait.
Wow.
But you also got to look at it like this. Women view a great date different than men view a great date, right? Because essentially you really want to make sure that the woman is doing most of the talking because that's what you all want. You all want to know that we're interested. You want to be able to get your feelings out and talk about the things that you wish you've done different and things you want to do in the future. That's what you do. Because if it was the other way around, next thing you're going back calling us the big balls. Like, I couldn't even say nothing about myself because this fool sat and talked about himself the whole night. Like the whole night. The whole night. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. So, it's different. And so, you know, those are the things that we do on a date. Because at the end of the day, we want you to have a good time.
Right.
Otherwise, we want to ask you to go out on a date with us. So the best
way
to do
just
that
to get, just to be clear, the whole women intimidating men is some BS.
Well, I think it depends because, first of all, a real man wouldn't feel intimidated by a woman just because of the whole quote unquote ego thing. Not because of what she's done or what she's accomplished, because at the end of the day, she's still a woman. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's not saying that I'm sexist or I say, you know, one gender is greater than the other, but, you know what I'm saying? Women have this whole, I'm woman, I'm empowered. You have that thing, you know what I'm saying? That say, you know what, I can do more than a man because I can do this, I can do this, I can have children, I can raise a family, I can run a company. You know, women and men both separately still have this whole, you know, I am who I am. So I don't think that has one thing to do with another.
So can I gripe right now? You know, and again, so now I'm laying on the couch now, okay? I'm in the counselor's office. I'm laying on the couch now.
Oh,
I have to gripe
Lord,
right
Jesus.
Now. So,
I've seen this, Stacey, a few times.
No, this is what I'm saying. Okay.
Here we go.
I say that good girls finish last. And the reason I say that, and of course, this is Mind Shift Talk Radio. So you guys help me to have this mind shift. I need to have this right now, okay? So, doesn't it, from what I see, my perspective, if I see guys going to women, usually, I'll say 8 times out of 10, men usually end up with the woman that is more needy than the woman that is more self-sufficient. Do you guys see that, even with, not necessarily yourself, but when you look at your friends, do you guys see a trend of men settling down with women that are more dependent versus independent women?
Okay, so first of all, you have to understand what a man needs in a relationship.
Okay,
and
time to extend the show.
The truth of the matter is this.
Oh, yeah.
A man needs to be needed, period.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't have anything to do with status, with income, with position. It has nothing to do with that. At the end of the day, a man needs to be needed. That's a part of just one of those key things, you know, just like a woman needs to be respected, a man needs to be needed, especially by his woman. So that's a big piece of it, because my thing is this, and it's not to say that you have to be so needy that you can't fend for yourself, but there still needs to be something about you that needs that man for something, because that dedicates whether or not he feels like a man. The only person that can make a man feel like a man is his woman.
That's true.
Hmm, that's good.
Oh, it's not his woman, another one.
Food for thought, right? Because and why you say that? I'm gonna tell you. That's food for thought right there. Seriously, and I respect the most independent of women. My mom was an independent woman. She raised me on her own. That's real life. But if you can't give a man the feeling that you need him around, not him to take care of you all per se, but just that companionship, that tie, that bind, you know what I'm saying? That that cohesiveness, the unit, the two that makes the one. If you can't give him that feeling, I guarantee you somebody is going to give him that feeling.
But see, my thing is this, too, now, Stacey, don't get it twisted, all right? So we're not talking about, first of all, let me say this out loud. There is nothing more attractive and sexy than a woman that can get up and go to work and kill it. Like, I'm talking about the top of her game is very good at what she does. When a woman does what she does and she does it well, there's nothing more sexy than that. Okay, don't get it twisted. But at the heart of it, that same woman, For whatever reason, it could be just to change the damn light bulb in the house. She got to let that man know, you know what? Ain't nobody coming in this house and changing no light bulbs in this house but you, because I need you to do it. I need you to do it.
Great.
This is true. Man needs to be needed. So a woman can't be so so gung-ho on achieving and doing all these other things without letting her man know that she still needs him by her side, because he needs to be needed. And someone, as you said a little earlier, somebody will give him that. Somebody will let him say, you know what, I just can't get through my day without a text from you. That's
right.
All it could be.
And again, this is one of those areas where there needs to be this mind shift, because I'll be totally transparent. For me, and I've been told this by more than one person that I've dated in the past, is that I have had a hard time letting the man be the man. But like I said, there has to be a mind shift there. It's not that I think every woman wants to be that damsel in distress at some point, but we don't necessarily know how to do that, depending on how we were brought up as well. Like you said, Carlton, you were raised by a single mother. So was I. But in my family, I can say, you know, just to give you an example, from my family, I grew up in a whole family of single women, my aunts, my cousins, my sisters, my mom. So there were no men around to hold things down. So for me growing up, you know, I've always been conditioned to think that a woman has to be able to do everything. Like I said, my sister can change her own brakes. She can do her own oil change. My mom can change a tire. You know, that's what I saw. So, again, you know, when we're talking about the relationship piece, and it's important that we have these conversations, because many of us need to go through this change, and I think we need to understand from a male perspective as well as a female perspective for us to be patient with each other and to be understanding and considerate of those differences. So I don't think it's so much that, you know, a woman wants to wear the pants in the relationship, but, you know, I think women do want to be soft and they want to be affectionate, but they may not necessarily know how to do that. And it's important for you guys to let a woman know, or kind of ease her into that and nurture her into that place for her to feel comfortable being, I guess, letting those guards down a little bit. Does that make sense?
It do. I do. Don't rebel, though. That's the thing. Don't feel like, you know what I'm saying, when it's happening, don't make the person feel like, you know what I'm saying, oh, my God, you're going too far. Well, I don't need you to do that. You know what I'm saying? I stand on my own feet. We respect you. Like, you know what I'm saying, we're going to respect you for who you are. And like Princeton said, you know, there's nothing sexier than a woman who can do that. That is really, really, that's a strength. It's a beautiful. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? And that's where that whole intimidation factor comes in. If you don't let a person feel like, you know what I'm saying, you can let that guard down, that can be intimidating. You know, why would I want to be around you when you feel like you can do it all on your own, or you're going to do it all on your own? Then you really don't need me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a little bit standoffish to you because you got that on your own. That's the aura that you're giving off, you know what I'm saying, to a person when you feeling like, yo, I run this and I don't need nobody else to run it with me. That's true. You don't have to need a person. I mean, this don't have to be about being needy, but the desire to have that person and showing that you have the desire to have that person to run the world with you, that's when you opened it up. That's when the door opens, and that's when that insecurity that a man may have about, you know, feeling like he's intimidated by you, that's when that insecurity disappears. You know what I'm saying? It dissipates. He's right there. Now he's like, oh, okay, yeah. She's open to the possibilities of us being king and queen. You know what I'm saying? 50-50.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, sis? You're over there. She's just over there being quiet. What are your thoughts about it? What do you think about the whole intimidation thing?
I think that's a bunch of BS. Like, if you're intimidated by a woman, you need to grow a pair. Like, I totally get. I think it's what is it about her or her situation that you find intimidating? Is it her confidence? Is it her security? Is it her material possessions or financial stability? Like, what is it that you find intimidating?
It's your personality. Yeah. It's the personality. I don't think it has anything to do with a person's status. I think it has just, you know, I think it's what she gives off. It's how she carries herself. You know what I'm saying? You can carry yourself, you know, as confident and secure and strong without giving the, you know what I'm saying, the appearance that you don't want to be bothered.
Okay. You know, so my question is this. Do y'all think that Stedman is intimidated of Oprah?
No.
No.
Right. My point exactly. It doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, if you're a man, I don't care who you are. You're still a woman. I'm not going to be intimidated by you. So if you got a man that's intimidated by you and you're a woman, then you got some other kind of questions that you need to ask. Somebody need to ask. Period. So, that's, and then I think in on this show, what tends to happen is I think we talk in absolutes a lot, so we talk way far in of the spectrum because it's not necessarily what happens in each relationship, because each relationship has its own temperature, so to speak. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you have to, whoever you're with, you have to kind of train them on how it is that you need to be loved. That doesn't mean that they don't love you, but you still got to kind of get to the point where you say, this is what I need to feel love. And it needs to go on the other, that needs to be conversations and things that helps that relationship grow. Because if it doesn't, and you don't have that, have that conversation, then you all can be, you all can be on the California King bed 10 million miles away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could be in the same bed 10 million miles away and that doesn't mean that both of y'all don't love each other. It has everything to do with, whether or not you're loving me the way that I need to be loved.
And I was about talking about that book this weekend. Have you read that book, The Five Love Languages? Have you guys read that book?
I have.
Yes.
You have?
I have not.
Preston, you have?
Say it again.
Have you read that book?
I have.
Yeah. I mean, I was just talking about that. I think that's, an amazing book. I think everyone needs to read that book, and I was just referencing that book this weekend. Like you said, just the communication piece. And, again, I still think it ties back to maturity. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about, I think, still ties back to maturity and experience. But, like you said, that love language and people needing different things, we always want to mirror ourselves. Not always. Many a times we have a tendency to want to mirror ourselves in relationships, and we feel that our mate or our spouse or whomever needs to mirror love and reflect love the same way we do. And that's not necessarily the case. So just like you guys were talking about the whole a woman needing a man and making a man feel needed and being affectionate and so forth, it's the same thing for women. We don't all necessarily need the same thing. We don't need love to be expressed the same way for us. So I think that's a phenomenal book. I need to put that on the website. Note to self. To go ahead and put that book on the Mindshift Talk Radio website. But for those of you that are just tuning in, thank you for tuning in to Mindshift Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Emery, joined by Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. And tonight we have the fellas joining us for a roundtable discussion entitled This is a Man's World. And truly, I think it's a woman's world, too, because the guys are just giving us, they're just spilling all the beans and giving us all the ammo that we need to be empowered. So thank you, guys. And as you have seen, we're already running out of time, so I went ahead and extended the show. I was thinking you guys probably wouldn't mind hanging out with us for a few extra minutes. Are you guys okay with that?
I'm with it.
I'm good.
All right, next question. So now we're having a little bit of fun with the conversation when we were talking about the dating piece, and I'm going to say it this way, and you tell me what your thoughts are. India Ari versus Beyonce. Okay. So you have a lot of brothers that say they want just a natural woman. I don't know how natural is natural. And then I'm sure there's other brothers that are more attracted to the Beyonce type. So what do you guys think? What are your thoughts?
I think both of them are beautiful women. But if a man had a gun in my head and was like, I need to make a choice, honestly, Beyonce. I'm just saying. Honestly. If I'm just being real.
Why?
India Ari is beautiful. Intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful black woman. I love everything she stands for. You know what I'm saying? But to me, if I'm looking at them side by side, and they were like, pick one, I'm just going to pick Beyonce. I just am. It's the hip. Maybe it's I'm a leg kind of guy. I've seen her legs. They look really nice. Nice shape.
Have you heard her talk?
Well, I was just about to say something about that, because I really think, again, you have to figure out what your demographic is, all right? So what age guys or men are you talking about? And then you got to figure out, okay, what is it they're actually looking for in a relationship? You know, because, you know, I don't doubt that Beyonce is a genius, you know, very smart. But at the same time, I wouldn't put her on live TV to talk to the nation for over 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I just wouldn't do it because I don't know what she's going to say. I don't know what she'll say, but it depends because I may be into this whole facet of whatever quote-unquote media or society says is beauty. But at the same time, if I want somebody that's going to make me better, if I want somebody that's going to be able to get me to the point to help me go find a job because I ain't had a job in the past 6 to 8 months, if I know if somebody's going to rub my back and say, baby, you my man, and I want you to go out there and I know that you're going to find a way to provide for this family, then, yeah, I'm going to holler at NDRE. So it depends on where you are in your life. And you, like I said, we talk so much in these absolutes. You kind of really got to really get a pulse of what America is thinking, you have to be able to get in that middle section, because we always on one end of the spectrum or another. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, Beyonce, I wouldn't necessarily say NDRE, but, you know, at the end of the day, nothing wrong with Keisha Cole. I'm just saying.
I'm saying, if you gave me, if you told me I had to choose, that's my choice. But I'm like Baskin Robbins. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear your fans. Don't pigeonhole me. You just pick two sides of the spectrum. There's so many different places out there. Are you serious? This is where
are you guys more open now? Do you guys feel that men are now more open to different things that women do to make themselves feel more attractive, whether it's weaves or eyelashes and implants and so forth? What are your thoughts on that? Because I know it seems like we kind of go through seasons, just like how light-skinned men had their season back in the 80s, and, you know, then the dark-skinned brothers came in and so forth. Where do you think guys are right now? Are guys still looking for the natural woman with just everything her own, or are you guys more open now to some enhancements?
The real talk, nobody cares. We don't care at the end of the day, because if you're attractive to us, you're attractive to us. We can care one way or the other. You know, if you're natural or if you're not, you know, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because I mean, you know, men look for different things, and everybody has their personal preference or their personal taste. So I don't think it, you know, leans itself one way or another. I just think it just depends on what it is a man wants.
Right, that's true. Because I can't stand. I don't like makeup at all. Like, I don't think a woman needs it at all. You weren't made with colors on your face. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-uh.
I'm serious. No, I don't lipstick, eyeliners, eyeshadows, blushes, all of that. I think it's totally unnecessary. It just hides the true you. That's because if I met you at a club and you had all of that stuff on your face, you know what I'm saying? This is the only way I've seen you. The last time, so we're going back to dates. We've been on 3 dates. Your groove came into effect. We've been on 3 dates. You had all this makeup on your face. And then I woke up next to you, and that makeup was coming off. And you don't look too weird. Come on now. Now, am I supposed to be disappointed because you was hiding the true you? Should I be surprised? Should I be okay with it? Yeah, just be natural. And in that aspect, I believe in being natural. I don't even think you need enhancements, implants, and all stuff. That's just my personal opinion. Now, of course, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. And y'all are visual people.
We are visual people. It can look good, but if you just, and I'm telling you, I don't even like weed. I don't like weed. That's just me. That's my man. And now, I mean, actually, in fact, you can talk to anybody who knows me. Like, my wife will tell you, like, when she puts on eyeliner, she does it when she's going to work. But when we go out on a date, I don't even need to see it. You can do, you know what I'm saying? Because for me, that's unnecessary. You're beautiful just the way you are. I met you like that. That's how God brought you into this world. stay that way. You know what I'm
saying?
That's the good
news. All right, all right, all right.
So let's see, what's the next one we have on the list? Oh, here's the topic. What are your thoughts? Age ain't nothing but a number.
Going down ain't nothing but a thing. Oh, my bad. I thought you were singing the song.
Okay, so first of all, you have to figure out, okay, what's the gap?
What's the gap
you're talking about? Because I'm sorry.
Well, that's what we want to hear from you guys. What's the gap?
I'm going to let you start with that one. Go ahead. I got daughters. I might take a different approach to this question than you might. So go for it. I'm going to let you go first. Right.
So, I don't know. I guess when you look at it, you know, they always say that, of course, women mature faster than guys, or you all are different, you know, when you all are at different ages, we are at different points. But I think that, you know, if you're, I would say that the age range would definitely be at least, I would say, 26, 27. At least that's enough to be able to have, you know, enough life experiences to be able to gauge, you know, whether or not this relationship is healthy or non-healthy, or is it something that, you know, I can do from here on out. So I wouldn't, and I would say that age would be like a, you can even really do about a 12-year split, or a 25, you know, 32, you know, whatever, 37, whatever that is. But, you know, you should be able to do that split.
Okay.
Okay. So this is my honest opinion on this situation. Okay. I base this off of experience. Like, I personally don't believe, I'm 37. I'll be 38 in June. There is absolutely nothing a person, a female, anywhere between the ages of when she reaches legal womanhood, which is 18, to maybe 25, 26. Can really do for me. Nothing. I don't think she's experienced enough.
Nothing.
Nothing. We just talking physical? Yeah, okay, that's different. But hey, we talking sexual? Yeah, even then, she probably still is not ready.
All right.
That's just because... That's just how she. I mean, and that could be wrong. This is, of course, this is all subjective because this is based off of, you know, me imagining what you could have experienced in your life by the time you done reached that age, right? And I don't foresee you actually going through enough for me to have a conversation with you where I felt like we was mentally on the same level. We may not be have the same interests at all. And physically, you may be perfect, but experience-wise, you may not know nothing about, you know what I'm saying, what it takes to satisfy my needs in that area as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's more about commonality. It's more, that's all it is. You have to be able to have something in common.
So, in y'all scenarios, are these women younger than you, and the male's older, or is the male younger and the woman's older?
Okay, so
both.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes both ways, but I think that, you know, in all honesty, I think most men have a proclivity to lean towards the younger women. I think it has to do with men not wanting to be able to, us not wanting to kind of be able to let go of our youth, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're only as old as you are mature, you know, to a certain degree. So, you know, you could be 37 and still out here in the clubs like you're 25 every weekend.
Right.
You know, if that's something that you want to do, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, at a different age. That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can kind of argue that point. You can kind of argue that point out of the way.
Well, and to you.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Who has the daughter?
I have Carlton. I have daughters.
Carlton, when you said you have a daughter, just kind of to understand, and you were saying, like, were you saying 12 years or so?
No, I didn't say 12-year gap. You can't be 12 years is way too far of a gap between, to me, No, if my daughter, when she turns 18, if a 30-year-old is interested in her, I'm liable to. Woo, that's not even how that goes.
Well, even 30 and 42, because when you were graduating high school, I was just going to kindergarten or elementary.
Right.
Yeah.
See, no, that's different. I'm just we get into a different stage in your life. That's
what.
Well,
first of all, I actually started around 25, so I still said the 12. I'm going to say the 12-month gap, the 12-year gap. I said really once you start that gap, really from that 25 on up, because you know by that point they should be mature enough to be able to decide what it is that they need or don't need out of a relationship.
Right.
I wouldn't say 18 and 32. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's almost pedophilish. You know, really, but.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Right. Your maturity level, you still, and to me, mentally, you might, like, literally, you probably could still be, you know, childlike mentally. You know, you're really not, you still free and wild spirited. You want to live out on the edge. Your maturity level might not be at the point where as though you're actually ready to be in a relationship. Age ain't number, if we're talking sexually, even then, like I said, it came on love. And when you start getting 30 and 42, that's different. You know what I'm saying? That's a different stage in life. You're in a lot more experience in life. You're in pretty much, you have a true identity of your likes and dislikes, where you want to go in life. You should already have that established. But a person who just reached manhood or womanhood, you know, they may not be ready for that type of life. You know what I'm saying? I started, like I said, I got married first time when I was 21 years old. So, I experienced a lot in life. I have a different background, and everybody's story is going to be the same. You know, going to be different. They're not going to be the same. Everybody's testimony is different. You know what I'm saying? So,
do you think there's too old or too much of a gap?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It could be because all right. So I was telling the person. It's funny. I was talking with my manager today. We were talking about how people age. So imagine, and people look at me right now and don't tell me I look like I'm 37. They say it all the time. They be like, "You don't look like you're 37. Look, I'm too young to have 18-year-old kids and all of that." They always say that all the time. So I say in genetically in my family, it's like that heavily. So my uncle Francel is like 88 years old. His wife is 46.
Wow.
Right, but my Uncle Francel looks like he's in his 50s.
Do it, Daddy.
Right. That's the truth. That's not exactly, I mean, that's like my old Clarence, same way. He's like 83, you know what I'm saying, 84. This is my great uncle's. Yeah, his girlfriend's in her 50s, you know what I'm saying? But he doesn't look nowhere near 80 anything. They look younger than my grandfather does. And they're, you know what I'm saying, they are, who would have been his uncles. You know what I'm saying? He was married to my grandmother. They are her uncles. Right. They look younger than he do. That's just how, and it's just, and genetically, all of them on that side of the family all look the same. So for them, you would think that the age gap is different. But status, well, I guess I would just say, you know what I'm saying, women, they do mature faster than men do. That's the truth. I'll give you that. You're definitely mature faster. When y'all reach a certain age of womanhood, you know what I'm saying, y'all on a different level mentally. And then guys, we mature at a later stage in life. They at that age right now, they may be feeling midlife crises, and they way past the midlife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But my uncle friend has been married for like 10 years.
I mean, we have talked about a whole bunch. I'm looking down our list. And we have covered so much tonight, so I know we have to wrap it up soon. And I'm looking at some of the stuff we talked about.
Did you cover the money? The money and bills piece?
Go with the money and bills piece. Go ahead with that one.
Well, because Stacy was sharing about a conversation she had heard transpiring, and the ladies was like, I'm not splitting no bills. We're not roommates. He's supposed to pay it all.
Yeah, I was this married woman, you know, in the hair salon, we get all the great conversations. So these married women were talking, and, you know, the one girl, one lady was married, the other one was engaged, and she was upset because she was saying that her fiancé is talking about they're going to split the bills down the middle. And the married woman was like, no, that doesn't make sense. You don't split bills. Like, you're not roommates. We're not roommates. He's supposed to pay the bill. So you guys have both been married before, back dating, and now remarried. I mean, what are your thoughts about how that's supposed to be handled in terms of finances in the relationship?
I mean, you would imagine that you're thinking, I think when we first think about this, we don't think about whether or not the woman's making more money or not, you know, because, you know, interestingly enough, a long time ago, most of the time men were making more money than women. So now you have, you know, different types of households where, you know, in a lot of cases that the woman is the breadwinner. You know, mm-hmm. I think it just, you know, it just depends on where you all are in your relationship, because it may be one of those situations. Like I said, a man still needs to be needed. You know, that's the underlying part of that. But at the same time, I don't think that you can go from one couple to another couple to say, you know, what's better or what's not better. Should we split this down the middle? I will say this: when in my last marriage, which of course has dissolved and is not, you know, where it should be, we split things down the middle. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of having one, you have a divided household. Because I'm paying for this and somebody else is paying for something else, then that's not what togetherness is. You know what I'm saying? That's the beginning of the damn end. So I understand. It makes sense to say, you know what I'm saying, we don't need to be splitting things down the middle, but you got to figure out a way to be able to, you still have to marry. You're not just marrying each other. You're marrying each other's finances as well. So you have to be able to marry those two things together and then find out really what, you know, what makes sense. But I don't think it's one of those situations where, you know, a man can feel like I'm doing something to move this family forward. What am I doing by myself to move this family forward? And a man can't do that if you're splitting everything down the middle. It's just not possible.
Mm. I say you're a team. It's, you know what I'm saying, you're a team. It's a us thing. We take care of this. We run this house. You know what I'm saying? We balance each other out. Either way, they got to get paid. So let's say we're at a point right now, I'm the breadwinner, right? I make all of the money. Now I lose my job, right? So I got to go out there. But until I get the job, until I get another job, you know what I'm saying, to pay the bills, what's going to happen? They're not going to get paid? You know what I'm saying? We're going to lose everything? You can't live like that. How does that function? You know what I'm saying? How do you coexist? Situation? How does that work out? How are your kids going to eat? Where the roof going to come? You know what I'm saying? Who paying the bills? Right. It's a team. So if I can take care of it right now, then I'm taking care of it. You can take care of it and I can't, then you take care of it. If we can take care of it together, we take care of it together. Because that's what a marriage is. To me, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's, we doing this together. It's our family. We take care of this household. We run it together. You know what I'm saying? Now, my wife right now, she makes more than I do. She has for the past 6 years. That's the job that she works. You know what I'm saying? Has no bearing on how this house gets run. It has no bearing on who makes any decisions up in here. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way that it is right now. I don't care. We're a team. It's a team.
Well, guys, I appreciate you both being on here and enlightening us. You guys have definitely enlightened us. It's been refreshing, and you guys let me lay on your couch, and I got to vent, and so I'm back right now, though. I'm right again. So
I'm not too sure about that.
Oh, whatever. You know, it's all for entertainment purposes. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it has been great. Now, before we wrap it up, I do want to ask you guys if you could give one piece of advice, if there was anything you could give in terms of advice to the men that are considering dating after divorce, or, you know, any man that's dating, based on everything that we've discussed in this conversation tonight, what would be that one takeaway that you would want to leave with the men? One piece of advice.
Don't take past experiences into new ones.
Okay.
It's a train wreck waiting.
That's good.
Right, and I just say really be, try your best to be open, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, especially if we've come from a relationship that was a bad one, we tend to have all these safeguards up because, you know, we're not about to be hurt twice, and that's for real. Mm-hmm. So just kind of be open to the experience, otherwise you might be, you know, you might miss a good thing.
Right.
Okay. And what do you say to the ladies? Carlton, what's your piece of advice for the sisters that are listening?
Okay. Real life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest about your wants and your needs up front. Don't make a person believe you want one thing when in all actuality you want something different. That's the best thing I can tell you. Because if I walk into a relationship and you was telling me that this is all that you, this is what you want from it and this is what you expect, and then I deliver that to you and then 5 years later you change that, I don't even know who you are anymore. Be open, you know what you want in the beginning and be honest.
Okay. All right. For me, especially if marriage is the goal or being in a healthy and sustainable relationship, I would say that, and I said this last show, I said that men marry women hoping that they don't change, whereas women marry men hoping that they do.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Don't do that.
Don't change. We love you, or we were attracted to you for a reason. So don't change who you are. You know, be who you are. That's the main thing. You know, once a woman starts to try to appease a man, then she loses a little bit of that mysteriousness to her. And that's what keeps a man at home. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else. But a man still needs to want his woman. There has to be a hint of mysteriousness to be able to sustain that over a long period of time.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good. I think both of you guys gave great advice. Well, thank you to both of you again for being on the show. Now, I know we were joking at the beginning about Princeton having some fans after the last show. Do you guys have a way for people to connect with you guys, maybe on Facebook? Are you guys open to listeners connecting with you guys? I'm sure you're going to have some questions.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes. So for me, you can follow me at Noob32 if you like. You'll see I have a new boo, so I subtweet her a whole lot, so you can get in on that.
He said he has a new boo.
He has a new boo. Oh, so sweet. Carlton. So they can find you on Facebook.
Miss New Booty. Oh, my bad.
I don't do a lot of, honestly, I'm not big on social networking very often. Kind of shy away from it. But, you know, every once in a while I do jump on Twitter. At Salaam is back. Salaam means peace. So at Salaam is back. S-A-L-A-A-M. Is back. That's my Instagram as well. And you can find me on Facebook every once in a while. I'm posting pictures of my family. And as you know, Carlton Brown. I'm easy to find.
So now you guys can see our mystery men are a wide open book. So thank you again for you guys being here. And thank you for being so transparent and honest. And I hope those of you that are listening to the show got as much from this as we did. I think it's great for us to have these conversations. There's always questions that women have about what men think, and I think there's a lot of times that men have questions about what women think, and it's important for us to understand both perspectives for us to meet somewhere in the middle. And I also think it's important for us to understand the differences in terms of how we view certain situations and topics, again, for us to be able to meet someplace in the middle. So, again, this is all about creating that mind shift, about creating that paradigm shift in order for you to be more successful, even in conversations in areas like this when we're talking about relationships. You have to be open to the paradigm shift. You have to be open to change, and you have to be open to see things differently from another perspective. So,
I hope that after listening to the show, you can open yourself a little bit, both male and females, to the other side of the spectrum and hopefully achieve a greater level of success in your personal relationships. So before we go out, Sister Big Bones, are there any final words that you want to share with the listeners or anything you want to say about tonight's show?
No, I really want to thank the gentlemen for their just being candid and honest and transparent. And their willingness to share. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the nuggets learned, and think you guys are great men, and just compliment the great women that are standing beside you. So thank you so much.
Definitely. And we wish you guys the best in your relationship. And thank you to all of you guys that are listening to the show. Thank you for those of you that tuned into the live show, as well as those of you that are listening to the replay. We encourage you guys to make sure that you're here every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific for our West Coast family. Also, make sure that you stay connected with us on Facebook. Make sure that you're connecting with us at mindsettalkradio.com. And also make sure that you're staying connected with us via Blog Talk Radio. We're here. Like I said, we have an amazing lineup for you guys for the next quarter that we've already booked. And so we're going to have some dynamic speakers, some more roundtable conversations, a lot around personal development, small business development. There's just going to be so much that's going to be covered over the next quarter. So you want to make sure that you're connected to us. You want to make sure that you're sharing this with your friends and family members. Anyone that you know that's in need of a mind shift, we all have those people in our circles that need one. Make sure that you're encouraging them to be here. So as always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, blessed, and amazing week. Sister Big Bones, always excited to be here with you. Thank you, Mamacita.
Pleasure's always mine.
And you guys, make sure that you're here next week. We'll talk to you soon, and hopefully we can see you in the chat room. You guys be blessed. Have a good night.
God bless you. Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.